You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wonder if it's almost impossible to go back-to-back in this version of college football. Should we ask Urban Meyer that? I think we should there, Tone. Because, I mean, you got 12 teams right there. It's, especially in today's NIL era, to put the confetti back in the cannon, I mean, it's almost like you're asking a program too much to go back-to-back. Like, I could see Ohio State, like, I'm not trying to be a killjoy here. I could see Ohio State in a year or two winning another national championship, but it's like, man, it's hard. It's hard. It's almost impossible. You're still the number two team in the country, but man, you've accomplished it. It's hard to go back and get everybody riled up again to do it. It was an effort.
I just keep looking at Penn State, right? Because Penn State is by all accounts supposed to be a national championship contender. Where is your roster in comparison to Penn State? Where is your coaching in comparison?
They're number two in the coaches poll. I think they're number three in the AP poll. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my real story all year, the headlines I'm going to be looking at, Julian Sain, where is his development? Like, he could look atrocious in week one. Everyone will be down on Ohio State. But it doesn't really matter where Julian Sain is week one. Where is he in that second half of the year? Where is he in that stretch run? Because we just saw last year, you could have a quarterback like Kyle McCord play horrifically in the Michigan game, right? Your last regular season game of the year. That didn't even matter. It's where are you for a stretch run? Where are you for a postseason run? Where are you going to be at? Because Ohio State should, right? I think we say should, when all is said and done this year, looking at that schedule, they should have a chance to get into the playoff.
Easily, yes.
So even with a loss to Texas.
You would think. You brought up, you wanted me to ask about the Penn State. You wanted to ask me about the Penn State thing. I think it's another year of conversations about James Franklin, where I don't think it goes anywhere. I mean, even if they were to lose to Ohio State, if they were to lose to Oregon and they finish 10-2, it's like, well, he ain't going anywhere. I think this is their best crack at it to actually have a national championship in a long time with Penn State. But I don't think, does anybody really pick them to beat Ohio State? Because his record against top teams would say otherwise. And it's become a ghost that follows him around to every game they go. It's like, okay, yeah, great, you beat App State. Fine enough program. When are you going to beat Ohio State? When are you going to beat Michigan? When are you going to beat Michigan when they're good? When are you going to beat all these other football teams? Like, that's the question that falls around James Franklin. And Penn State, I think it feels for a Penn State fan like they're probably stuck. And I'm going to move back to the Bronze here in just a second. But I think for a Penn State fan, it probably feels like you're stuck, because I think you know in your heart of hearts, James Franklin is a really good coach. Is he of the same ilk as some of the other guys? I don't know. I bet a lot of people probably would have put him above Ryan Day going into last year, considering what happened there. And now you're like, no way. Outside of Ohio State, of course. No way you'd put him in the same stratosphere now as Ryan Day and what Ohio State did, being able to rally those guys after that terrible loss to Michigan. Like, there's no clue. But you can't let go of this guy, because you're not above being Nebraska after Solich. You're not above that. So you got to be careful if you're a Penn State type of program. So I think it's going to be a very interesting season how this plays out for the top three teams. And, of course, Texas with what Arch Manning said a couple of days ago, where he's got to keep his options open. Plus, and somebody else brought this up, I thought, and I want to ask Urban Meyer about this coming up here in about 15 minutes. With Arch Manning, I think you have to leave your pro options open because I think there's other things that you can maybe get offered by an NFL football team that aren't on the rookie wage scale, and that might have to be taken into account with the CBA because who's to say that I want to come out? Well, now your team has the number one overall pick. What are you willing to offer my father? What are you willing to offer my grandfather and my uncles? That is not part of my salary. What are you willing to do something like that? I want to take care of my family with generational wealth, hint, hint. Of course, it could always come back to, and somebody made a great point on Twitter, yeah, I could always go back to Texas. What are you willing to offer now to keep me if I go out and win a Heisman Trophy and a national championship? Now, this is putting so many carts before so many horses because we've only seen him really play against not great programs. So we got to see what he does because I'll tell you what, if he goes out there and sucks up the room next Saturday, there'll be a lot of people waiting to go after Arch Manning coming up that Monday. 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski, you asked me this question on my way in today. I read it on the speaker on the phone there on the truck, and you had asked, let me get this correctly here, did Stefanski make a mistake in calling all this a QB competition? Explain yourself.
So when we, you know, set out with four quarterbacks to begin training camp, Stefanski said it would be a competition. He didn't go into specifics about, well, would this be two guys battling for the starting spot, two guys battling for the backup or the third string? He never went into great detail about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he was pressed on it, but there are people out there that were under the impression that, like Shador or Dillon Gabriel, but mostly Shador, had a chance to start week one against Cincinnati. And all the behavior of the reps in training camp, the way that they divided or allocated the reps in training camp, the personnel groups the quarterbacks were pairing up with, it would have led you to an obvious conclusion mm-hmm. that Shador Sanders, Dillon Gabriel, had no shot ever really to start week one. This was not a fair quarterback competition. That really wasn't by the behavior, by what people were seeing at camp every single day, by the beat reporters and what they were telling you, and by some of the leaks that came out eventually, which were, oh, these guys are miles behind. Like, don't ever confuse this as an actual chance to win a starting job. And it seems to have angered fans that Shador and Dillon Gabriel never really had a shot to start week one. And so that's why I asked the question today. Kenny, could we have avoided a lot of the nonsense? Could we have avoided, it's been great for radio because we've welcomed in all the Shador fans. We've got a lot of people from Boulder, Colorado. We had people from Dallas calling yesterday.
Atlanta, I'm a big Shador fan. Atlanta. One guy who called in, he started listening only because of Shador.
We welcomed them and we were happy, but I hated to
they
break
better
the
not
news.
Cut them now.
But I hated to break the news to them that there was never really a quarterback competition. They said, then why did your coach say it? So did they invite unnecessary debate over this?
I want to disagree with you because to have the debate, I think they did. I think they invited that because when you have Shador Sanders in this massive fan base, you know, we've had other massive fan bases jump in. I've told the fans, like, you guys haven't experienced anything like this. Yes, we did. We experienced Johnny and we experienced Baker. This is my third rodeo, not my first.
And by the way, we had some Odell. But we brought in some fans from all over the country.
That's another great point. This is our fourth rodeo. But those three other guys, Odell was expected to be wide receiver number one, obviously. Those other guys had chances to start. I mean, it was a debate every single raging day about Johnny Manziel or Brian Hoyer. It was a debate about Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield and whether or not Hugh Jackson was holding them back. There really should have been no debate on Dillon Gabriel, Shador Sanders, or Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett. It should have really been two separate ones. Now, I still think you would have found fever. I still think you would have found an argument. But when you have a fan base that's that big and you say it's an open competition and then you see that fan base say, he's got no first team reps. I can speak until I'm blue in the face and go, guys, you don't understand. I'm hearing from the people in the building. Other guys who are connected are hearing from the people in the building. he might have been further behind than what you may think when it comes to the NFL offense that they would like to run. He's coming along. They're doing right by Shador. But you don't want to hear that because the head coach himself came out and said it was a four-quarterback competition. If he would have said the competition to start is between Kenny and Joe, and then the competitions behind him were to be behind Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, I think it would have been a competition of who gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could always just say, hey, we could always keep four. I think that that would have probably been your big fight of who gets cut between those guys. And then why would you have taken two rookie quarterbacks if you intend on cutting one of them, especially a guy with the fan base of Shador and a guy who I think has a great ceiling like Shador does. And Dylan Gabriel you took in the third round, so then you're putting him behind. I don't know if there's anything they could have done to eliminate any sort of controversy, but I can't help but agree with you when you say it's a four-quarterback race and then the guy who has the biggest fan base, and the guy who really gives you the most hope for the future, can we all, unless you are a Shador Sanders hater, and we got a few who listen, but the guy who you would think, hey, he's young, he's got the higher ceiling, I think he has a higher ceiling than Dylan Gabriel, when you don't give him any first-team reps, and you're saying that there's a thing, well, now I have to trust you. How many people trust the Browns? That's an uphill battle. So now I have to try to trust you, which that's going to be hard to do, and then I'm thinking, well, now you're not being fair to my favorite quarterback. Is what his fan base is thinking. So, yeah, I have to agree with you. I think you're right. I think it would have been much simpler if he would have separated it and said, hey, we could keep all four quarterbacks. Absolutely. This is as open as it gets, but it's between Joe and Kenny to start the season. You could have done that.
Yeah.
I wish I could debate you on it, and maybe a couple of weeks ago I would have, but thinking as clearly as I can, you're right. You're right.
Obviously, the Shador has been a gift from the gods. I see the clicks every time we mention Shador, and we try to be fair. We're never accused of being fair, though. That's the thing. Anytime we talk about Shador, it's never the right amount for the people that are listening. Where it's either too much or too little, or we're not giving them a chance or whatever. I think there is an element of the fan base, and especially Shador fan base, that wanted him to be treated like a certain rookie quarterback in Washington last year. Like, that guy hit the ground running. Why can't our guy hit the ground running and start immediately and have a chance to take the team to the playoffs? You know, they will never understand why he's not being treated like that.
And because of the open competition, remember what I was saying to you 3 weeks ago. Like, I don't believe he should be treated as just another fifth-round pick. But I don't believe he should have been treated like Jaden Daniels either. So where do you find the middle of it? If you would have separated it, I think it would have been easier to do.
Tell you guys to tune in all the time. We like to tell you we're the pulse of all things Cleveland sports, Ohio State as well. But now we really want you to tune in because we have somebody, a legend in the football world, the college football world, national championship coach at Ohio State, twice at Florida, and now he's one of the best analysts in all of college football. Surprise, surprise, right? Who would have thunk it? Urban Meyer joins us right now on the Fan Hotline to talk about Ohio State and so much more in the world of football. How are you, Coach? Thank you for joining us this morning. And we are live, by the way, 7:22 here on a Thursday.
We want to make sure.
Recording it. Yes. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, that it's live. And it's great to be with you guys. And I was just back in the land several weeks ago, played at Barrington Golf Course, at a Folds of Honor event, and then went down to the Flats at another event for Folds of Honor. And, you know, every time I go back, I realize, you know, I'm so proud to be from Northeast Ohio and how beautiful it is, especially in the summer. You know, winter can bite you a little bit, but summer's fantastic.
Well, we always expect Ohio State coaches to be in Northeast Ohio. We always were kind of competitive with Columbus and Cincinnati in terms of high school football talent, but Northeast Ohio served you well, right, Coach?
I would actually get a little upset sometimes. I remember when I was at Florida and we played Ohio State in 06, and, you know, I'm from Ashtabula, Ohio, and I've been to, someone counted one time, close to 1,000 high schools in my career recruiting, and I had it all, man. I had a great talent, great coaches, great high school, a great family, and I am so blessed to grow up in Northeast Ohio. I still call it home. I wish I could get back more often, but I try to get back at least once a year.
In the new college football way that they do things, with the college football playoff, Coach, is it almost impossible to repeat as national champions where the teams are not as deep as they used to be? Everybody's gunning for Ohio State. Now you have a new quarterback. I mean, this is a very tall order for Julian Sain, Ryan Day, and the Buckeyes.
Yeah, one time I did a little study because, you know, we had in 09, after we won in 08, we had most everybody back. And then in 14, our 15 team might have been even better as far as talent. And I remember I went to visit the Chicago Cubs. Joe Madden just won the championship in 2016 in Major League Baseball. And we sat in his office, and he was a mess, you know, and I'm sitting there talking to him, and he said, "Do you realize how hard it is to repeat?" And he threw some stats at me, and I don't have those in front of me, but I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's really hard. Everybody's gunning for you. I got a lot of confidence. So the way the Ryan Day and the Buckeyes have recruited, I don't know if I've witnessed that in modern history. The talent, especially what Brian Hartline brings into that receiver room, it's one after the other. So to answer your question, it's a tall task, but I know what I'm pulling for.
Coach Urban Meyer joining us. Of course, big noon kickoff, and Ohio State's got a huge game to start out the season, and they have a new quarterback. Julian Sain is going to be the signal caller. What have you heard? What have you seen when it comes to him? Obviously, committed to Alabama. When Nick Saban leaves the program, he decides to leave, and he comes to Ohio State. Is that a guy that can help Ohio State defend the national championship?
Yeah, the quarterback's best friend is the offensive line, and I'm hearing, you know, we lost four or five starters, but it's the deepest offensive line that they've had in years. And then obviously you got a Purdue transfer, the tight end, you got the best player in college football, and then on the other side you got Ennis and you got Carnell Tate. So Julian Sain is, from the day he transferred, I started hearing about him. I stood next to him a couple of times. He's not real big, 6 foot, 6 foot one, but they say it's magic when it comes out of his hand. The ball comes out of his hand. He's got great accuracy. He's got great feel for the game, and he also can extend the play, which we know how important that is. So a lot of pressure on him, but the best thing that Julian Sain has is that group of players around him.
Boy, I thought, Coach, one of your strengths through the years at Florida and Ohio State, you knew there'd be attrition in the coaching room, and you saw that with Ryan Day losing coordinators. How difficult is that to be able to continue your message but do it with different coaches? Because people forget this, you're coaching the coaches from time to time.
Yeah, that drove me out of my mind, to be honest with you. We started losing every 2 years. I would lose, and I would mandate our coordinators stay for 2 years, but they all became head coaches. And so I started the co-coordinator routine, you know, where I would have a coordinator and a co-coordinator, and I would anticipate one would leave, and I tried to get the next one ready, because at a place, you know, when you're doing well, you feel like you have the systems in place that you want. You don't want to have radical change. You want to keep it going. Now, you do want to improve. You know, when I hired Ryan Day, you know, we just had a great run, but I wanted to enhance our throw game, and he did that. But we didn't change. You know, it bothers me when I hear people say, well, it's Brian Hartline's offense or it's Chip Kelly's offense. No, no, no. It's Ohio State's offense. And same thing on defense. That's not Matt Patricia's defense. That's the Buckeye defense. And I would always mandate that throughout the, and I know Ryan does the same thing, Coach Day does the same thing, that, you know, it's not some individual changing things. Now, they make it better, that's their job, but you don't need a big transition after you win a national championship.
How did you get guys at Florida, and especially Ohio State with the Michigan game, how did you get guys from all over the country who might be being told by the third uncle and everybody who gets involved in their lives? What was it where you get them to take it personally, and they take everything personally, they end up hating Florida State and hating Miami and
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hating Michigan, how do you tap into that?
You know, that was something I experienced during the 10-year war with. I grew up in it, and I just was always mesmerized by, you know, I didn't say lack of respect, but certainly hatred. You know, I think that's the fine line that I love about the rivalry. The game is, yes, there's hatred, but deep down there's immense respect. At least there was. I think there still is now. That, you know, I talked about this the other day, that how do you show respect to a team? You work every day to beat that team. You give great respect to the players because you know they're great players, to the coaching staff and the fan base, the school, et cetera. And I, once again, dislike, you have to capitalize that and underline it, but respect, you have to also respect them. So we would brainwash the players. I don't think there's any other way to say that. We would have constant documentaries flowing through the facility every quarter of the year. For example, in the off season, we always had Wolverine Day and Beat the Team Up North Day. During spring practice, once a week, I would always have a Beat the Team Up North Day in practice, and it just never leaves you. And that's what, you know, you take kids from Texas, California, Florida, and I saw Jeremiah Smith on our podcast, the big triple option the other day, said the first day he walked in, he's wearing a blue shirt, and they made it clear you don't do that around here. And some people think that's funny. It's not. It's a way of life, and it better be.
Urban Meyer joining us right now. The coaching job that Ryan Day did last year, look, I'll be honest, totally hammered him after the Michigan loss. I could not believe they lost that game. And you were there. You saw it. And you saw everything that happened right after the game. It was a really rough scene. The coaching job that he did after that, because it's not like you ever had a chance to do that, like lose that type of game. And then, oh, now we have a playoff to get ready for. What kind of job was that, and how amazing for him to be able to turn that into a national championship?
It was amazing. One of the great runs, if not the greatest run. But I actually talked to Coach Day several times after that, and I'm still close with so many people in that building, that their credit also has to go to that group of older players they had. You know, you think back in the day that I never really got to coach a senior. You know, most seniors left for the NFL draft. You're always coaching freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. The difference between a freshman and a sophomore, especially at that age, and a senior, you know, it's a child versus a grown man. You get to coach grown men in that locker room and have men-to-men, man-to-man conversations, which they had. I still can't wait to someday when the book comes out about what happened in that meeting, because there was a decision made. And you can say the head coach, which he did a wonderful job. But that head coaches don't make decisions like that. That's a player-led decision. And we all witnessed it. And so the Wolverines had it the year before, a very veteran team. The Buckeyes followed suit last year with a very veteran team. And the one team of the Big Ten now this year that kind of has that is Penn State. So I'm anxious to see. There's a huge difference between coaching a room full of seniors and young players.
I saw you made some headlines discussing the punishment the NCAA handed down for the Wolverines. In the end, obviously, it's not the same old NCAA that you encountered or Jim Tressel encountered. Is this the way it needs to be going forward, or do you think they missed the mark?
Oh, that's, I don't know. I think the NCAA, as, and I made the comment, as a enforcement arm, it's over. They started to lose it years ago when everything became litigated. So you would punish a team, and it started, I remember Tennessee was tampering or something, and the NCAA started to go down that road, and they were going to get sued. And every time they get sued, they lose. So I think college football, in that regard, so much of college football is great. In that regard, there is no legislative, there is no enforcement arm right now. There is really not. And they talk about this new college football commission. I don't think people realize that only has to do with NIL. That has nothing to do with whatever violations that occur. The biggest issue that I had with the Wolverines is the fact when I started, because I was the one guy that kept saying that I don't believe that, you know, I have a hard time believing the media right now because I'm not sure that's true because I've seen the media report wrong things over and over again that about so many people went to other games. You know, a guy dressed up as a coach of another program and watched the signals, and I started reading that. And then the most alarming thing, guys, was when they said that they did not follow rules in the facility. They rebuked, dismissed, and did not even listen to the compliance guys. You know, my understanding is the head coach never even met with the NCAA. He refused to. I don't know how that happens. You know, how do you meet? What do you mean you don't meet with the investigators and you just tell your staff not to meet with them? Those are the things that caught my eye that were like, wait a minute now. You know, how does it? I don't know if that's really ever happened.
Urban Meyer joining us on the show, 3-time national champ, College Football Hall of Famer, Triple Option podcast host with Mark Ingram and Rob Stone joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. As far as regulation goes, do you have a plan? Would you have a plan as far as regulation and NIL?
Yeah, there is set, and you know, I started reading about it when it all came to fruition. I still have no idea how you're going to put the guardrails, or the term you use, regulate it. I think the air is out of the balloon, and I really don't understand how you're going to do that. And the problem I have, college football is great. It's never been better product on the field. The fan support, I don't want to bash college football because it's never been better. It's just I'm so old school about education, about life after football, about preparing these players for the next 40 years of their life so they can be great citizens, husbands and fathers and all the things that I, you know, that's kind of what Ohio State has always stood for. And I'm not saying it doesn't now, but whenever you talk about college football now, it's who has the most donor money. And to me, that's, I don't know. I still, that doesn't sit right with me.
Coach, when we here in Cleveland are talking about quarterbacks, seems to always be on the mind. We have somebody in town that I drew a comparison to Tim Tebow about, and that was because of the fan base they brought with them that transcended football, and that's Shedeur Sanders. And not you know, comparing the way they play, but what they come with. They have a brand. You know, Tim Tebow had a brand. Obviously, you coached Tim Tebow. What are you seeing with Shedeur Sanders? And do you think Shedeur Sanders has what it takes to be a starting NFL quarterback?
I loved watching him. We covered at Big Noon. We covered him. You know, we were there for Deion's, I think, first three games, and he turned around a program that was a train wreck. And you don't do that without Shedeur Sanders. You know, I got to go behind the scenes and watch him, watch his coach, or his father and coach. And, you know, a lot of times we all get uncomfortable with maybe the flash and the posse and the watches, et cetera, et cetera. But I know what I saw. I saw a player that can get out of trouble, lead a team, has really all the skill set to be successful. He took just a god-awful program, and they turned it around. And so I think there's a lot of substance there. The issue that I remember Tim had, and a GM told me this one time, is that if you're a backup quarterback, and whether you bring it on yourself or it's just because Tim tried not to bring it on himself, it just happened. You know, as a backup quarterback, they don't want all the media attention on that one player. You know, all coaches want, you know, team, no distraction. So I'm not there in Cleveland. But if you're asking the question, can he do it? I don't think there's any doubt he can do it. You know, it all depends on what's around him. But if you're talking about a skill set, great leadership, a quality person that I really enjoyed watching, I'm a Shedeur Sanders fan.
you and Jim Harbaugh kind of made it Woody and Bo all over again with the rivalry, the 10-year war. I mean, you mentioned that you grew up in the 10-year war. Woody and Bo would often talk. Do you speak much to Jim Harbaugh now, or would you guys meet? Would you guys ever sit down?
You know, we always got along fine during our time. We didn't spend a lot of time together. I knew his brother and know his father, and so...
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great respect for that family, but no, we don't. I don't think we've ever. I think did a couple of Dick Vitale event here in Florida once, and
I love that. I would say this is great.
That's great.
Great. Never talk to him. I love it. It's better. It's better that way. That in our minds, Ohio State. I'm an alum. That's better that way. It's just perfect.
Okay. It makes it better.
Hey, Coach, I'm just started watching the Dallas Cowboy documentary, and I'm seeing Jimmy Johnson and how the players are talking about how much they absolutely hated him at times. And then obviously they end up becoming a dynasty. And then what are you going to say? But so much of what I am seeing with Jimmy Johnson, I know to a different extent because it was a generation later. I saw it with you in the way that you coached and walked around, you know, different campuses. You know, there are different styles of leadership. Did you model anything after a coach like Jimmy Johnson and someone who, you know, you got a chance to coach in the NFL? He obviously coached in college in the NFL and did it at the highest levels.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler world, and that was what I knew. And I also grew up in a military family, and one of my greatest, and I still support our military. I tried to run it like special ops, like Navy SEALs and Army Rangers, and I wanted it to be the elite of the elite. And, you know, I tried to make everything so you had to make a commitment to be there. There's nothing worse to being part of something where there's half-assed commitment. And I just wanted to create an atmosphere where that was non-existent. And if you look back, I never really fired coaches, and I never really, you weren't allowed to kick players off the team. But what I tried to do is create an environment where even in recruiting, you know, we were honest. Say this, you come to this school, you're expected to be the best of the very best. And we're going to hold you to that standard. If that doesn't fit your job description, there's a lot of places that, you know, just it's not that important. Ohio State, you're going to have 110,000 people in that stadium. There's an expectation to win. There's an expectation to win every game you play, beat your rival, be a good person, graduate from school. If that, and we're going to hold you to that. If that doesn't fit who you are, what you want, then save us all a lot of time and go somewhere else. And those are conversations we had nonstop. And I wanted to try to get the team to the point where we used to call it the edge. And the edge is where average stops and the elite begins. Get them to that point where their mind and their body start to say, do I really want to do that? When you do that, you're going to find out what you got. And a lot of times, you're going to have greatness.
He hosts the Triple Option. He's on Fox Big Noon Kickoff. He's with Mark Ingram, Rob Stone. It's head coach Urban Meyer, three-time national champion, College Football Hall of Famer. Coach, thank you very much for the time. You've been gracious.
Cleveland, Ohio. Have a great day.
Thank you. Coach Urban Meyer on the fan hotline. That definitely, you ain't cutting that guy. I know there are people, they are haters, man. They get into our mentions. We don't have a lot of callers that do it, but there are a lot of people who send us emails and tweets and, hey, you guys prop these guys up and they suck. And what did he do? Colorado this, Colorado that. Colorado sucks. They're only 9-4. Only 9-4. When you talk to a lot of football guys, like it is such a difference. Like I used to go back and forth about other coaches about this. Like when you are taking over a program that's 1-11 and the worst in P4, which at the time was P5. When you are the worst program in major college football, to get them at 9-4 in 2 years, obviously takes some people who are good assistant coaches and coaches and a head coach that can get people going. But also, you got good players, and you have to have some leadership there with your players. And I thought last year could have been a crossroads for them. I really did. You had Travis Hunter as a Heisman Trophy candidate, and I thought that, you know, it could have been touch and go. They had a lot of things going on, and they were able to have a nice season over there. And what Urban Meyer says is right, and I think that hopefully it'll translate over a little bit to the NFL. Now, he's going to end up being fourth on the Browns depth chart, but what he says about Shedeur Sanders, hey, man, you could sit here and call me every name in the book, and we were called things about liking Shedeur, I can't even say on the radio, but that's a former head coach, a guy who's covered him, a guy who was he at the TCU game a couple years ago? That was a 4-win season.
I love the setup to everything you just said. I love the conclusion of everything you just said, but people are only going to latch on to something you said in the middle.
What?
I know he's going to be fourth on the depth chart. Fourth?
It ain't my depth chart.
Fourth?
It's not my depth chart.
I know, but that is going to continue to boggle the minds
of
a lot of people.
It's not my depth chart.
Like, it's one thing to say, hey, not ready to start the season. They can't all be Jaden Daniels, right? But that's very different
all
from
right.
fourth on the
but,
Cleveland
but
Browns.
That is, I understand what you're saying, but they're in a different mode. See, this is why this season is so messed up. You have to try to win games. You are up again. They're not on the hot seat. All right, well, if you're going to go from Joe Flacco to Kenny Pickett, you tell me who's not on a hot seat. Because you don't trust either the third round or the fifth round guy. Because, hey, are you and I on a hot seat? Are the fans on a hot seat? What would they do? How many fans after Joe Flacco would say, even the people don't like Shedeur, yeah, put Shedeur in. Or even the fans that don't like Shedeur, how about Dylan Gabriel? One of the two, flip a coin. Okay, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go Romeo Crennel with you. But we're all looking at rookies. Who can be the future? Save us from the future. Save us from this mess that the organization has dug for themselves. And so when I hear Urban Meyer, I get excited about that. He will be fourth on the depth chart. Unless they're able to stash Kenny Pickett on the IR because he was limited again yesterday and he's not going to play on Saturday. So that could give them every excuse in the world going, hey, he's okay to practice. He ain't ready to play. So you could go ahead and put Kenny on the IR and then have Dylan Gabriel as the backup if you want to, or put Shedeur Sanders as the third teamer if you want to, or if you really want to get crazy about it, which I think conspiracy theories would go nuts. All right, the oblique strain, he practiced, but he was limited. We don't know if he's going to play. Maybe he doesn't play. Maybe they stash Shedeur on the short-term IR. Kenny on the short-term IR as well. That's what I meant by the IR. You stash him on the short-term IR. All right, well, if you do something like that, you're going to have a lot of hell to pay for it on the internet, but I don't think a lot of people are going to care inside the building. So you tell me what the goal of the season is. Nobody's on the hot seat, but you're definitely going with the 40-year-old for a reason, because even if you weren't on the hot seat, you want to do right by your vets and the other guys ain't ready. But if you just go from him to Kenny Pickett, okay. Because me, I ain't going anywhere. I need to get figured out what we're going to do in 2026 as well.
Yeah,
and I would love for Shedeur, who I think has a high ceiling, to be able to give me enough of a reason and enough time to give me enough of a reason to go, hey, maybe I don't like any of these guys. Or maybe, you know what? I know Shedeur has a massive fan base, and I'm asking for a lot of hell over this next spring. Maybe you keep him as the backup.
Well, I don't know what's a crazier notion. The fact that Shedeur fans having to hear him as fourth on this of all teams depth charts at quarterback, or my other thought, which I keep coming back to, which is I would not be shocked at all if Kenny Pickett is the starting quarterback of the Browns by like week 3 or 4.
Just because it said week 1?
What do you mean? No, I'm not just that. Just that everything I continue to hear is that they love Kenny Pickett. And the fact that he hasn't earned anything and he's still he's still right there. And he's the guy that they went out and got first. They secured Kenny Pickett. They traded a pick and a player for. And that, oh, you heard rave reviews from the staff. The fact that you said when they were drafting players, it was Kenny Pickett calling them, congratulating them for being a Cleveland Brown. Like, I still think he is the guy that they had plans of all along being the starting quarterback of this team.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.